This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to episode 15 of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to Discover ADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Bojan Djordjevic, who goes by his first name, Bojan, on app.net. He grew up in Serbia, but lives in the windy city of Chicago. He loves to talk about productivity and is the co-writer for the Alpha Efficiency blog and monthly magazine with Darren Tong. Please join me in welcoming Bojan to Discover ADN. Hello.
Hello, Jason. It's good to be here.
Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I think it's been October 2012. I'm not really sure about it. But yeah, I really enjoyed the experience. It was like very vivid and alive, and everybody was super, super duper happy. And then our emotions kind of toned down, and we got to know each other. So there are now cliques of people on app.net. And I enjoy my clique very much so far.
Well, that's certainly a good thing. Can you tell us, why did you join app.net?
Well, to be honest, I'll mention two members that swayed me to get over here. One of them is Mike Wardy, and he's a big productivity author, and I feel that he definitely deserves to be on this show. And the other person is David Sparks from Mac Power Users. He runs that podcast, and I'm listening to him for a long while, and my emotion was like, if those two people that I respect and listen to on a regular basis are here, then it feels like a place that I should be. And from that point on, I believe I talked with Darren and Clueless to join on board as well, and they followed, and it felt homey, and people were very much engaging. The main difference between app.net in comparison to Twitter, that app.net was not a link dump, because Twitter, that's how Twitter felt to me for a long while, until my use case of Twitter evolved, is that everybody was there just to push their links down everybody else's throat, and it kind of completely missed the mark of social networking. And app.net, on the other hand, was all about engagement and meeting new people in a pretty talkative environment where majority of posts are mentions instead of just regular updates. So it got me hooked. I like engagement, and that's how I got on board with app.net, how it made me feel like I am at home. But I got no censorship on app.net. I talk about how I feel at the moment and what I think at the moment. Some people might not appreciate that. Some people do. And that's where the experience comes from. It's like a polarity. But that's how it is in life.
You use your real name on app.net. Can you tell us, why do you do this?
Well, why not? I mean, the whole internet is moving from anonymity, except in Japan, from what I know, from anonymity to the public use of persona. So I don't run away from who I am, and this is giving me an extra level of control, because if you type my first name and last name on Google, or just my first name, my AppNet profile is on the first page. So I'm dominating my own first name and last name on the searches, and I have some degree of control what is out there about me. So isn't that like a certain level of degree of control of who we are out there in a public world? Because people will still be able to Google each other, and if you can maintain an image, and if you have some level of control, then you're basically controlling your own name. If that makes sense to you. And that's where I'm going with it. My blog, my personal blog, is in my own name. Every social media outlet that I have is in my own name, and I pay attention to what I say, even though I'm not always politically correct. But I do believe in the things that I say. So, you know, that's where that moment of polarity comes from, because those people who like you will like you more because of who you are, and those that don't will figure that out right away. So it will cut you and save you some time from dealing with people that wouldn't like you to begin with. So it's like you have a positive polarity and negative polarity, and you attract those people who are in line with your values, and you will basically click more with them, and you repel those people whose values are opposite from you. So it's creating like that kind of a life where you're attracting the right things towards yourself. It's kind of metaphysical, the way I view the whole internet, not just Google, but the social media. And those two things are very connected to me, and especially me being an internet marketer. So I kind of understand how all those things are functioning on a mechanical and algorithmical level. But there is a lot of power behind words when we put them as phrases in search engine. So they hold more meaning than just that algorithm. That's that human machine connection where those words that are being sorted out by algorithm are actually holding more power, because they are words and they are within the semantic system of humankind. So it's pretty amazing experience to see how machine helps us connect on a semantic level without actually understanding what that word means. Because algorithm is an algorithm. It's not an artificial intelligence where it can actually have actual understanding of the word, but it is on that level where it can figure it out to a certain degree. So it definitely changed my life for the better.
Can you tell us, what would you like to see more of on app.net?
I would like to see that the app.net team focuses on microblogging platform, because I feel that majority of users and developers are dominantly concentrated around that area of the network. And that has been neglected for a year now. The only novelty that I see is a pour over, and I don't feel that I as a user have a direct benefit out of that feature, because it's not a feature that I actually have a necessity for. So I think that they have a certain problem of integrating the whole strategy of user acquisition, and I'm not sure, are they trying to sell the platform as some users of AppNet were suggesting, or I don't know their ultimate plans, and I don't know the direction in which the AppNet is headed, but I feel the severe disconnect between the owners of the company and the community. The community evolved on its own, and instead of AppNet being the hero of its community, now there is that disconnect that is happening. So I know that we, the users, like we, the people, we, the users, I am certain that we want more out of the user experience that we get. I remember how eagerly we were waiting for new Felix features, new repost features. Now that the Billy Coons declared that he can't survive from from developing for AppNet, which I totally respect and I understand. We all gotta make money in order to thrive. I feel that that is actually a pretty important moment where the owners of the company should have intervened and figured out that something's not quite right. Because if the developers who are the core of this, who are supposed to be the core of this business, can't really survive, then something's wrong. Something's wrong going on. There's no that marketing push. There's no new user acquisition. And I feel that AppNet, for my needs, is big enough. However, I feel if we want to have a consistent innovation introduced on a daily basis or a monthly basis, or at least on some basis, we need to have a community that's large enough to support its developers. And in this stage of the game and how it is, I don't see that happening. So until Dalton and the crew start changing the course of this ship, this is always going to remain like a small network. And we're already at the stage where like social networks have some certain growth expectations, and venture capitalists are very well aware of that. So with every passing day where there is no growth, the value of the AppNet as a whole is diminishing in the eyes of the people who would potentially be investing in it. So that is like the thing that needs to change dramatically and quickly, and it needs to happen in a sense that AppNet management needs to connect with the community, because I feel that community is slowly losing faith in AppNet, if that makes sense. Because my words here and the complete answer to this question doesn't come from me. It's coming from other people, basically. It's coming from all those comments and blog posts that are spurring around that are creating that disbelief. So I had a comment from Info Dryway today that he wants to stay in touch with people via other tools and other means, which is fine, but that just demonstrates his belief in the network. Like that there is certain expectation of fear that it might not be there. So I would like to have that emotion of this being a stable ship where we can continue to communicate in such a way where we are unencumbered by ads, or where we don't have to worry about the change in management, because we are supporting this project with our own contribution. Well, not me anymore. Because I decided that I am good enough with 40 active people, and that is good enough for me. So it's a freemium model, and I do want to contribute once I see that there are some changes that are going to benefit my selfish needs, because that's what I'm willing to pay. So that's my little tirade about what would I like to change. I would like it to be more user centric.
All right, let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
Well, I certainly love to be known for Alpha Efficiency and all the great work that Darren and I do on that website. It's like a little bit self-promotional, but we do invest a lot of time in the magazine itself and fixing the content and generating new ideas and sharing our insights and how to be more productive and achieve your life goals. And I so far it's been 6 months that we are running Alpha Efficiency magazine, and we're very proud of it, and not quite sure how to close this, but it's been a major success for us. It's been a big gamble, and we invested a lot of time in it, and we couldn't be prouder of what we accomplished.
Well, this works nicely into our next question. Before starting Alpha Efficiency, you were blogging about productivity and ways to get more out of each day. Can you tell us what compelled you to jump from blogging to something much more difficult, like having a monthly magazine?
Blogging didn't pay the bills, and we didn't see the growth in blogging because the competition is fierce. And if you want to make money from blogging, you have to reach a blog of a certain size where traffic is becoming a commodity. And at the end of the day, I didn't feel like writing three or four articles a day where at the end of the day, I wouldn't see any monetary benefit for me from that. That just didn't make sense because it would propel me to write less meaningful content, and my only metric would be traffic. So I would try to figure out how much I could monetize from the ads and stuff like that that would keep the whole project running. And just the way the SEO game was leaning towards Sue and the way I was running my life just wasn't feasible in the long run. I just knew that blogging wasn't the way to go. Even though we are still blogging a little bit less frequently than we used to, but we still pay attention to our blog, and we are doing some works on redesigning the whole website. We just feel that creating valuable products is going to benefit the consumer and the publisher. And it's like, maybe this might be the wrong word to use, the consumer, but at the end of the day, that's what most of us are.
Can you tell us how you decided on a magazine format? Why choose that option over a podcast or a YouTube channel?
That's an interesting question, but it was a hunch. There is a very, very famous person in the internet marketing world called Ed Dale. From him, I've learned everything about internet marketing in general, on the topics of SEO and how to build your mailing list, how to start running Facebook ads. He's the person that's running the challenge. It's formerly known as 30 Days Challenge in internet marketing, where the end goal of the challenge is to earn your first dollar online. And I successfully completed that challenge 4 years ago when I chose internet marketing to be my career. And he was talking a lot about the magazine format and how it's becoming a game changer and how it's very important. And I went on his hunch. And I can say that I didn't follow up with his product, which costed a lot of money. And instead, we opted in for Type Engine, and we couldn't be happier about it because Type Engine is very awesome. And if you decide to run a magazine of your own, we wholeheartedly recommend that you go the Type Engine road, because Jamie Smith and the crew, they're very supportive, and they will help you out with the technical side of the story, because publishing with Type Engine doesn't feel like publishing a magazine in the sense that it's too complicated. It feels more like blogging in a sense. It's simplified to that level that your only work is to deliver the A-game content to your audience. Now, the benefit of having a magazine is that you are going to have a rebound traffic in the App Store, so you're going to be a little bit more independent from the SEO game and gaming the Google search results and trying to figure out how to gain more traffic. It's not going to be your concern. And we started by pitching our product to the friends of Alpha Efficiency. The fact that I've been blogging for 3+ years now connected me with a lot of influencers in the industry, like Daniel Gold and Mike Wardy. We've also been endorsed by David Sparks from Mac Power Users. And those endorsements and the mentions of the magazine brought us a lot of relevant traffic, where people who are actually interested in the topic saw it first and started downloading it. And those downloads and props and reviews led to the higher exposure in the App Store itself. And it just started snowball effect, where we were getting more rebound traffic, and the fact that we have very low attrition rates makes me proud, because we know that we're doing something right. I don't feel that people would be paying the monthly fee if they didn't get the value for their dollar and what they're paying for.
Let me ask you this next question. You have recently moved from Serbia to the United States.
That is correct.
Can you tell us, of all the countries in the world, how did you choose America as a place to emigrate to?
America was my big childhood dream, that there's no doubt about it. And I remember even in high school when people were talking about what they're going to do, what university they're going to sign up for. You know, I said to one of my teachers, like, I don't care about all those stuff and what's going on around here because I'm going to America and I'm going to make it big over there. And she just laughed at me. It's like, ha, 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 like, just your dream. I said, well, I will. And I just remember that scene, the moment I landed here, and it felt so amazing that despite what other people say about you, you can still go out there and do what you set yourself to do. Because anything that I set my mind to, I achieve it. And there is a big power behind our minds that I don't think that the general populace is using. I see a lot of disbelief in people, and when I see this disbelief, they don't believe in themselves, and that's the big problem that we're facing as a humanity, because we are consistently told that we can't do, we can't achieve, don't dream too much, just like follow your own path, go to school, get a job, and then do what everybody else is doing. But if you follow that path, you are running a pre-constructed life that might not necessarily be the best life for you. And I'm one of those people that didn't want to follow that path. The Serbia has a very big negative connotation in its own community, because that's exactly that type of mindset is being reiterated to people. You can't, you can't, you can't. And everybody starts to give up to that. And I know that I was very different even in my own home country, because I'm the person that says you can, and you have to if you want to. If don't, just give up. But you can do it. I believe in other people as much as I believe in myself. So I try to be encouraging whenever somebody starts a new project or has a big dream or a desire. I always tell them, go for it. What else are you going to do? We're all going to die anyway, so why not follow what your heart tells you to? It's not like you're going to lose anything. All of this is an illusion anyway. So you might as well live it up the way that you think you're supposed to live it. And I feel like I'm living my life like a dream, because I accomplished the things that I set my mind to. Sometimes it feels unbelievable to myself. It feels that I expanded way beyond my reach. But then again, I say that's life. Those who dare, they win. It's just an amazing journey for me. I couldn't be more grateful for my life and for all the things that I've accomplished so far.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And I certainly hope your future is just as bright.
I certainly hope so.
Let's move on to the final part of our show, and this is when we get to recommend some of the people in our timelines that we find so interesting. So, could you share for us three people who you enjoy interacting with, and the reason for that?
Oh my. All right. Well, the most entertaining person for me on AppNet is definitely Blenderhead. So if you don't mind following some not safe for work content and some politically incorrect jokes, he's the person to go to. The second person that I would recommend would be Ronnie. He's very balanced, and I like his approach to home screens, and he always gives me an inspiration how to arrange my stuff on my iPhone. The fact that he jailbreaks stuff and just like pulling his creative side in order to make his home screen a little masterpiece. And I just enjoy viewing those posts. They make me feel happy. And and for the third person. PME is always sharing something extremely funny, also politically incorrect as much as I can be. But even his second account, Rento, is quite awesome and hilarious. So he's been in my timeline, I think since the very beginning of the AppNet, and I always enjoyed his posts. So those would be the three people that I recommend.
All right. Thank you very much for those recommendations. And I'd like to thank you again for being my guest today.
Hey, I enjoyed being here.
This concludes the 15th episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Boyan for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day.